The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Hello and welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. I am joined now by a banged up but participating still, Casey Bubba. Bubba, what's going on? How are you feeling? And are you on the good stuff?
I wish I was on the good goods. I'm not quite on the good goods. I'm on the goods, though, and I'm feeling good to be able to talk some football with my buddy Scott Bogman, so that's always good.
So now I had to like peel back the curtain a little bit on the show last week because you and I recorded a little bit earlier, and we missed the Thursday night football melee. Like, it just, you know, if I hadn't said something, people would have been like, why did Scott and Bubba not talk about that at all? So I feel like no time like the present to, of course, talk about that. You know, some new stuff has come out about it with Myles Garrett and possible things that what Rudolph said. And I have dubbed him Rudolph the Red-Nosed Racist. I don't know if that appeals to you at all. It sounds like you like it. But I guess let's get your overall thoughts on the melee first and then all of the corresponding, trickling down effect of this thing happening.
In my 35 plus years of living on this earth, I have never seen a sporting event take place like this. I've seen the videos of, I think it was Cepeda or the Juan Marichal and the guys swinging bats at each other, charging the mound. I've never seen anything in person like this. It was just absolute chaos, ripping a helmet off and then using it as a weapon. And playing Doink the Clown. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. It was really, really strange. I was wondering, and many people were, what could Rudolph have said? I don't know. I wasn't there.
Right,
I can't determine what the truth is. I think it's weird that he comes out with it so much later. No one in the clubhouse knows about it. Nothing. It seems a little odd, but it was pure chaos. I've never seen anything like it. Mike Pouncey went full Aaron Hernandez on the place.
Oh.
It was wild. It was wild out there. That's all I got to say. It was pretty wild. I hope we never see something like that again.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't imagine that we do. That was these things like this are so few and far between, like incidents that truly mar the game. And that's what this was. You know, the malice in the palace is the that's the thing that I think of when I think of that incident. And then, you know,
just had that anniversary.
Right, right. So what we really need is we need John Boy to quit screwing around with all the Astros stuff. Like, we get it. The Astros are cheaters, you know, and Max Scherzer's, you know, says fun stuff when he's about to strike out a pitcher or a player. So that's a lot of fun to watch. But let's get John Boy in on watching the NFL and having all that stuff. Although the NFL has said that they looked at the evidence and didn't find anything. Wouldn't it be silly if they didn't employ at least someone, a lip reader? You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be John Boy specifically, but a lip reader to kind of go through and see what was said. And, you know, I mean, you have, like you said, it's easy for us to just sit there and go, well, there's no way he said that. Like, why would you wait till now? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was just trying to not justify swinging the helmet. And this is me as a Steeler fan kind of trying to give Myles Garrett the benefit of the doubt. But how do you not say anything about that until now?
Yeah, that's my question. It seems a little odd.
Right. And he says now, you know, I know what I heard. It's like, do you though? Do you really know what you heard? Do you think you heard something? I don't know. You know, I wouldn't put it past Mason Rudolph. I don't know Mason Rudolph at all. So but I wouldn't put it past him, you know, and like I think Myles Garrett even said, I don't know if it was out of frustration or ignorance. Like, you know, that could be one of those things where you're just so heated, you're so mad, you say the worst thing that pops in your mind. You know what I mean? And for that, you know, he doesn't know Myles Garrett well enough. So let's just say a racist thing, you know, that could have been what it is, which there's no excuse for that at all. You know, but I just can't imagine that a guy in a locker room with, you know, whatever, 65 to 75% African-American players is going to just start spouting out racist slurs in the middle of a game, knowing that one of his own teammates could hear him. So,
yeah.
And I don't know. So you never know, because you weren't there. You weren't involved in the scrap and all that stuff. So, and that's the crappy thing, especially if Mason didn't do this, because he's going to be branded as this racist guy probably for the rest of his career, right?
Well, yeah, because most people, like, he's already have a nickname for him. Most people assume, because he's, you know, pro-Trump. I've heard the racist jokes all over the place with him. And it just, like, fit in the line when Myles Garrett said it. And I find it hard to believe, if in the world we live in now where you have Kaepernicks and all these guys that are standing up for everyone's rights and African-Americans' rights and everything, if he were to say that night, why would you not come out and say it?
Right,
like,
yeah.
That's my biggest thing. It's not like we're in a world where you're still hiding those kind of things. We're in a world now where we're all trying to make everything better. At least we're trying to. And right. So we put everything out front. Why hide it until you're on the front steps of the NFL's offices trying to get your suspension reduced? It just made no sense. But
right.
Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those situations where it's who knows. And then I had to beg the question on Twitter last night. Is it now tradition for something stupid to happen at the end of Thursday night football games? Because last night, like I said, I don't know, or two nights ago, as you're listening to this, the end of the game, did you see Watson potentially fumble the game away and Darius Leonard had the ball and they didn't review it at all?
I will be a bad host here and say I was on my good goods last night and I was asleep by the end of the football game.
Okay, so maybe you can go look it up on Twitter as we're talking about it. But the end of the game, you know, the Texans are driving to run the clock out. That's what they're doing. It's less than a minute left in the game. So, of course, any, you know, turnover, touchdown, any of that stuff has to be reviewed upstairs by New York. And they didn't get the call right on the field. Deshaun Watson clearly fumbles the ball. Darius Leonard has the ball. He lands on his butt and he's waving the referees over, holding the football like, come look at me. I have the ball. and they called Watson down, and he clearly wasn't. They called Watson down, and then not only did they have time, like the Texans went up to the line to run a play real quick, they didn't even get it off. The Texans called a timeout themselves because the Colts were out. They're out of timeouts. So, like, if you run a play, I get it. Like, you run a play, all right, you know, they were smart. They ran up there. They snapped the ball before the call was made, and they didn't have time to review it. But they called their own timeout, which I said on my live stream, I was like, this might be the dumbest timeout I've ever seen. If this gets overturned and the Colts get the ball back and they drive down and tie it or win it, this might be the dumbest timeout ever called in the history of the NFL. And they just didn't review it. And then after the game, they came out and said that, the NFL officiating on Twitter came out and said, yeah, there was no evidence that would have overturned that. It's like, well, you have, 150 million other referees looking at this thing going, yeah, I think that's going to get overturned. But it was just a bad play. And it's unfortunate that this stupid stuff is happening on the national stage for the NFL. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not like it would have been better having guys swinging helmets at each other or whatever on a Sunday, but at least there would have been other action to kind of cover it up. But when, this is it, this is what you got. The only game in town is this game. And then they're doing that stuff. And then the referees are screwing up the calls. It's just a bad look. So, and the thing that's the most aggravating about that call, and, let me know if you agree with this, is that they'll stop and replay almost anything now and waste a bunch of time. And they didn't do it for this. So were you able to track down the replay or anything on Twitter?
Yeah, it's pretty evident that Watson was not down, and there's no reason that it's one of my biggest bugaboos about this thing is let plays play out and you can always review them. Ruling guys down is never the right answer ever. Like, run the play. And the fact they didn't review that is just criminal. It's just a problem with the whole system this year. And like, it does suck. It's on prime time, like you're talking about, but how many of these stupid pass interference replays are we seeing? Like, where was it? Hopkins last week got tackled in the end zone and it didn't get called.
Unbelievable. That's an easy fix. Like, just, the NFL, the referees, they don't want to review that play. So they just, and so instead of doing anything about it, they're just refusing to overturn whatever was called on the, during the play. So if they call it no pass interference, it's not changing. If they call pass interference, it is not changing. They don't want to waste the time going through this. And it's almost like a silent protest. And it picked up, like, I think there were a couple reversed after what, week like two. And since then, I don't know that a single one of those challenges have been overturned. And because of that, the coaches are scared to throw the challenge flag, even though it's clear pass interference. And you had the clearest one in the world with Hopkins. I don't know. I think I'm just getting too mad about this situation. I mean,
you're burying the lead. Bill O'Brien made another dumb coaching decision.
Bill O'Brien.
That timeout alone, like, should get you fired.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I like Bill O'Brien too, and it's just it's unfortunate to me how he has made. You're right. I mean, just some of the most boneheaded decisions ever as a head coach on occasion. So, I don't know. You know, he's a really good guy. You know, you've seen a lot of stuff with him behind the scenes, and he does a great job with his family and stuff. But, you know, it doesn't make you a good football coach. I mean, it's the same thing that happened with Chuck Pagano, right? You know, Chuck Pagano was great for a while. He had cancer stuff, but people hated his coaching. So, and they still don't like him in Indy. So, I don't know. It's nuts sometimes. But those calls, you know, the stuff with Myles Garrett, I felt like we just had to talk about it a little bit.
Definitely.
And then becoming a tradition. What are they going to do on Thanksgiving night? So I don't think that's officially Thursday night football anyway. I think the next one is the Bears and the Cowboys. But just crazy, just craziness. So we'll see what happens. What are your plans for Thanksgiving, though, Bubba? What are your Thanksgiving plans?
My Thanksgiving plans, it was up in the air. We almost had to drive too far to go to the families, but I think we're going to stay local, go to a friend's house, keep it simple so I can enjoy my festivities and watch some football. and go from there. So the wife can take care of some things after on the weekend. And we don't have to go 4 hours to go see family. So I'm very happy about that.
A nice Friendsgiving.
Yes. I'm a fan of cocktails, food, and football.
Oh, that sounds great. I am, my mom lives not far from me, probably 20 minutes. So I drive over to her house, and I got to get there early this year because normally it's just me, my mom, and my cousin. But this year, our other cousin's coming over with his three kids, and I think there might be some other kids involved. But I got to get over there early to establish TV dominance. You know what I mean?
Do it.
So
assert your authority in there. Go full Carmen.
Yeah, that's
full
right. Respect my authority. You guys will never be watching cartoons. I'm watching football. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Looking at last week, Mark McGwire said one time, we're not here to talk about the past, right?
But based on the colors I see out here, we are not here to talk about the past.
We're here to talk about the future. But it wasn't fantastic. But let's quickly go through some of these games here and just get your quick thoughts on them before we hit the break. Dallas at Detroit. What did you see in that one?
Dallas at Detroit. That was Driscoll's actually somewhat relevant, but more importantly, that Dallas passing game is just super fierce. Like we've been talking about time and time again, Gallup, Cobb, good stuff there. And maybe Bo Scarborough's the man for the Lions. We'll have to wait and see. That's always a mess in that backfield.
Yeah, it always is. New Orleans at Tampa Bay. What did you see in this game as New Orleans wins 34-17?
Big bounce back for the Saints, as we all expected after that confusing game against the Falcons. And Jameis Winston, even when he throws four picks, gets you 20 plus fantasy points because that's what Jameis Winston does.
He does it every time. Atlanta goes on the road against Carolina and beats him up. So that may be the little bit of an answer to why the Saints weren't so good against them. 29-3, they beat down the Panthers.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this week because the Falcons now 2 weeks after the bye, their defense is ferocious. They have a weird play calling system about to check out, but so far so good. And if they can carry this over, they might save some jobs there in Atlanta.
Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Indianapolis ran away with this one, but couldn't do it two nights ago. 33-13 over the Jaguars.
Yep, literally ran away with it. I've never seen this Jags defense give a running attack like that to Mack. Then Mack gets hurt, then to Williams. It was pretty wild times. And Leonard Fournette, only 8 carries, is not going to get it done. Nick Foles comes back, looks good, but not nearly enough.
The tale of two halves in Minnesota, 27-23. The Vikings come back to beat the Broncos.
Yeah, tale of two halves is correct. That was just ridiculous. But in the end, the good team wins, and that's the bottom line because Dalvin Cook said so.
The Jets 34, the Redskins 17. Jets doubling them up here, and the Redskins were somehow favored in this game.
Yeah, you were right. You nailed that one on the head there, but Ryan Griffin has been a monster. And with Herndon out of the way, he's a very good, viable tight end for fantasy. And Sam Darnold, he did this last year in the second half. He's a lot better than people think. He's going to do it again this week coming up.
Buffalo at Miami. This one, your Dolphins kind of came back to life here. 37-20, they lose by 17. And finally, when the spread was in double digits.
John Brown week, everybody. John Brown week. It happened. Josh Allen did his thing. Thank you, Miami Dolphins. And this week it'll be Baker Mayfield week. So have fun, everybody.
Houston at Baltimore. This was a Baltimore beatdown in this one. It really wasn't close.
Yeah, it was not close at all. I was actually shocked that it was this way. Lamar Jackson, I think we say it every week, just like hit a button next time. He's a freak. He's a cheat code. And the way they shut down the Texans shocked me.
The Cardinals kept in it here, but they couldn't hold off the Niners. And the Niners win 36-26 on that garbage touchdown at the end, too.
Yeah, there's people in Vegas crying. There's fantasy teams crying. But Kyler Murray, that's my takeaway. This kid's a lot better than people think, so watch out.
Kyler Murray is really, really good. And I got to root for the short guys all the time. So that's my guy, Sean Guastamacchia, on Saturday. We were DMing, And I was like, "Man, Alabama's got to get little Tua ready." He's like, "Yeah, but he's so little." I'm like, "I got to root for those little guys, man. I'm, you know, like 5'8", like barely 5'8". So, that is going to do it for us here. We got to take a break, but we will be right back. We're going to take a look at the rest of these games from last week and then dive in on the Week 12 action. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on it.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by Casey Bubba at BD Entric. Casey, what is going on with all the podcasts? Where can they find them? All the podcasts that you have. I know DFS is going strong. Bench with Bubba. Give us everything. Let us know all the stuff and things.
All the stuff and things. You can go to fantasysportsdegens.com where I'll have most of it all posted. Bench with Bubba, that's my staple. Doing a lot of fantasy baseball talk right now. We have the 2-point conversion NFL DFS podcast. We have the always pressing PGA around the bases with Bubba and Mo. And most importantly, the Fantrax DFS show. This week I went solo due to the circumstances above my neck. But it was quick to the point, get you all the information you need. But if you ever have any questions, you can also find me on Twitter at BDNTrick. I'm always happy to help you. But check out the podcast. Leave some ratings and reviews. I would much appreciate it.
Look at that. Go do it. He's helping us out here at In This League. You can go rate and review his podcast. It's great. I wouldn't have him on here, and I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't believe that. So, you got to stand up for your guys. You're my guy. You're my boy, Blue. You're my boy. Closing out these games last week, these were stinkers.
Yeah, 17, it was not a good week.
No, 17-10 Patriots over the Eagles. I mean, you had the over, LOL, and then didn't hit anything because there just wasn't a lot of offense in this game.
when Julian Edelman throws the touchdown pass, you know it's a bad football game. So I'm glad I corrected myself there like a pro. But it was just a bad game. I have no takeaways from this. And then the biggest thing is Nikhil Harry's back, I guess, and the Patriots receiving corps banged up. So you might get some Harry and Myers action coming up.
Yeah, get some Harry Myers action going there. The Raiders. The Raiders over the Bengals, 17-10 in this one. Another low scoring. And these were the afternoon games. Like, this is like taking cough medicine, these games. 17-10 in the Raiders and Bengals game.
Yeah, this was 14-7 at the half. Looked like we get some good offense coming up, and then just field goal. It was really, really bad. Derek Carr, game manager, and the Raiders are going to make the playoffs.
All right. Raiders making the playoffs.
Yep.
We're locking that up.
Locked up.
Are they getting a home game, or they got to make it as a wild card?
They're wild card.
All right. So the Chiefs are still winning that division?
Chiefs win the division, yes.
Okay. All right. Then we had speaking of bad offenses, the Rams 17, the Bears 7. Mitchell Trubisky leaves with a quote unquote hip injury. Very, very strange end to this game too. So what do you think of that one?
Yeah, another, like, the Rams team just keeps looking worse and worse to me. And then the Bears, I love how Nagy uses Trubisky as his scapegoat because Nagy can't call a proper game plan. So all in all, I guess the biggest takeaway is Todd Gurley had 25 carries.
Right. Yeah, that is really the biggest takeaway. You're absolutely right about that. Is they just know Jared Goff isn't getting it done. So they got to go back to Todd Gurley. Yep. And it's just when Todd Gurley is a threat, it's just way better for Goff, too. So it's better to establish him and let him roll there. Then the last game was a Monday night in Mexico City. And it's funny about this game because everyone was talking about how bad the field is. Did you get to watch this one?
Yes, I did. And it was rough.
But I'm a Steelers fan, so I'm sitting there. I'm used to Heinz Field. I'm sitting there watching it going, this field looks pretty good. Yeah, so it looks fine to me, but at Heinz Field,
what do you think about them serving top ramen in the stands?
I don't understand it. So
I don't get it either. And I live like in a little like Mexican farming town and I've never seen top ramen anywhere.
I don't know. People like ramen. So I guess maybe it's just a thing with the stadium. It could be a deal that ramen has with the stadium. That could be something. I don't know. I mean, I know that there's noodles at the Diamondback spring training home here. They have like this noodles company place that are not noodles company. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like ramen noodles and you get like all kinds of different stuff. Yeah. So
yeah, but see, all those things we just discussed aren't Mexican.
Yeah, I know. So, but I don't know.
Sorry, big guy went on a food sidetrack.
Well, what you think? I've never been caught off guard by some food before, friendo.
So I figured we could talk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, have you watched any of the World Baseball Classic when they're in Korea and they had like the barbecue squid going on and stuff like
That's
that? Amazing. I was like, oh man, like I don't know if I like squid at all, but I would have to try it if I were there. I'm sure it smells good.
It's happening.
So. Absolutely. So I love that. That should be a good series. It should be Bogman and Bubba go around the world to different sports stadiums eating the food.
Hey, so, someone pay for that and we'll do it.
That's right. Absolutely. 100%. So what about the Monday night game? 24-17 Chiefs over the Chargers.
Phillip Rivers looking like Phillip Rivers. Like that was some unbelievable shot putting he did there. That last interception was priceless. That's the best way I could put it. And Mahomes only threw 182 yards. It was a weird game.
Yeah, it really was. Really was a strange game, but they got it done. I thought the stadium was fine in Mexico City, and I did get eliminated from Guillotine because of that stupid game. So,
my apologies.
Yeah. It's, it's just something that happens. We're down to six teams. Somebody had to get eliminated. I still was over... I think I had like 115 points or 109 points or something, but the next lowest was 121. So I was getting lucky because I was up 3 points with Mike Williams going into that game, and he had Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and you think, you're pretty much cooked. But then Hill pulls up lame in the first in the first series that they had. So I thought,
yeah, right out the gate, one catch down.
Maybe we get a chance here, maybe a little bit. But of course, it's like that.
Kelsey gave you that gif.
Right. It's that gif on Futurama of you raised my hopes and then dashed them quite expertly, yeah. Sir. That's exactly what it was. So second half, the first catch went to Kelsey, second catch went to Kelsey, and I'm like, well, I'm boned. This is going to be it, and it was. So let's look at this week's games, and let's start with your team, the Miami Dolphins at the Cleveland Browns. We're back out to 10-point spreads here. It's Cleveland by 10.5. 44.5 is the over here. How do you see, 45.5 is the over here. It did move a little bit. How do you see this one playing out?
Miami and the over.
Miami and the over. So we're going back to Miami. Yes. And this is the offense is going to prevail.
Yeah, the Cleveland will do their thing. They'll win probably by 10 points, but I'll take that hook all day long.
Now, are they okay? So I was going to say, does Miami win this game straight out? Because they've won three.
No, they're not winning this game. Well, if anybody can screw it up, it's the Browns. So it is possible.
It ain't Tank for Tua anymore. We know that. So
no, it's not. That's for darn sure. That's a shame.
Is it blow for Burrow?
I've been wanting Burrow the whole time.
So
I don't know if that's the right slogan, but I get where you're going.
I finally dove in on watching some film, and I watched, like 5 or 6 games of Burrow, and my NFL comparison would be mistake-free Jameis. That's what I said. So, that's pretty good, right? Mistake-free Jameis. Let's go with that. I haven't watched his old film. I don't know. I'm kind of weird about that. When a guy takes a clear step, I don't know that we want to go back watching his 2018 film. You know what I mean?
Probably a good call, because it kind of came out of nowhere this year type thing.
Right. So I don't know if I want to watch, the last year stuff. I'll end up watching a little bit of it. But right now he would be one. But Tua looked real good, too. I watched a lot of him as well. So don't have a final grade or anything on Tua or thought process, and really don't do grades, but it's going to be exciting for you. I'll say that there's going to be some good QBs. I think Herbert is even underrated, but the props on this game, I put Nick Chubb total yards rushing or total yards total at 120, because I think he's going to have a huge day.
Yeah. I'll take the over on this one. He should be just fine in the running and the passing game. So give me the over.
A Landry catches. I set it at 6.5. I think it's a good matchup for him. He's getting targets, but he hasn't been getting as many catches as you would like.
It's over. It's the revenge narrative. I love him in fantasy this week, especially for cash games on DraftKings and FanDuel. I like Jarvis a lot this week.
And we got to ask the Dolphins fan, more touches in this game, Ballage or Laird? Because I don't know that I've seen a worse IQ on a football player than Kalen Ballage. I don't know what he's doing out there. He has the run skills of Trent Richardson. I'm sick of seeing him out there, and I just want them to give anybody else a shot. Let's get Gaskin in there. I really think Mark Walton is an idiot for blowing this opportunity that he could have had. He got suspended, and then obviously domestic violence stuff. The guy's just a moron. So he would have had an opportunity here. I would have loved to see him run, but he's an idiot. So give it to Laird or give it to Gaskin, because Ballage just cannot be the guy here, right?
Yeah, Ballage is the worst. I've been wanting Gaskins this whole time, so I'm going to pick Laird in this debate, because I want Ballage just out of there. I could probably get as much as Ballage.
He's terrible. He's so bad. Like, he's running into his offensive lineman. I don't know. 9 rushes for 9 yards. It's just pathetic. I'm with you. I'm hoping Laird gets it. I think Laird, they kind of established as a receiving back last week anyway. He had like 6 catches or 5 catches on 6 targets or something.
Sneaky.
So, and that's why I went to the Cheez-It Bowl last year to watch Patrick Laird. He went out in the first quarter, and then I watched 9 interceptions. So, Denver at Buffalo. Buffalo, the 4-point favorite here. 37.5. Let me just double check this. Yeah, 37 is the total on this one. So Buffalo -4, 37 on Denver at Buffalo. How do you see this one going?
Give me Buffalo and the under.
Buffalo and the under. John Brown receiving yards, I set it at 90.
We're back under.
No more. John Brown week was last week. Get with the times,
everybody. He'll still get you 10 plus PPR points, but it's not this week.
Philip Lindsay total yards, I put at 85. He's been seeing more snaps and it had his highest percentage to Freeman's lowest percentage last week.
I'm going to go over. I'm glad they're finally going this direction. It's got to be the Philip Lindsay show for them to succeed.
Please figure it out. Give one guy the ball. Yep. And then Brandon Allen pass yards, I set at 240.
Under, please.
Under on 240 for him. So what's the score on this game?
I'm going like 17-10. Buffalo.
17-10. Okay. So it's going to be, so what it should have been was this game should have been on the afternoon last week then.
There you go. Bingo.
All right. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Pittsburgh favored by 6.5. The over is 38.5 in this one.
Cincinnati and the under.
How dare you? How
you guys aren't winning, but you guys aren't winning by a touchdown with Mason Rudolph throwing the football.
Rudolph the red-nosed racist? Come on. Well, so I'm with you on that. Like, Mason Rudolph is not good. Juju's not playing. James Conner's not playing. It doesn't look good. But no. If you watch the Monday Night Football game for the Bengals and the Steelers, I mean, it was Andy Dalton couldn't get to one Mississippi ever. So I expect more of that. So I took the under as well, but I also took the Steelers because I think Ryan Finley is going to turn the ball over a little bit in this one. James Washington receiving yards at 70. You got a banged up Deontay Johnson should play, but not much on the receiving end outside of that. Although Jalen Samuels did have 13 catches the last time he started. So, but I got James Washington receiving yards at 70. What do you think? Over, under?
I'll take the over just because there's really no one else to catch the football right now.
How about Joe Mixon total yards at 80?
I'm going to go over. Keep feeding Mixon. I like this recipe for success.
I almost did touches. I just didn't know where to go with it because if they're down, they'll pass him. But I feel like it could be a lot like Leonard Fournette from last week where he only had like 15. And at the end of the game, you're going, why the hell didn't we give the ball more to Mixon or Fournette or whoever? So what would you put, like, if I asked you for touches for Mixon, what would you put it at?
I would have said like 17.5. Give me the over under on 17.5.
Yeah. I would have gone over on that, I think. And then, I think maybe 20-ish is probably more.
20 is probably right.
What I would have gone with, but it's difficult to know because if they get down quick, you know, could be a lot of wide receivers. Won't be AJ Green though. So
no, it will not be.
Welsh is holding on to that. He still thinks AJ Green gets in a game this year. I'm like, why is he going to play this year?
He's got no reason to play. No. He's not stupid.
He ain't playing.
He's no Myles Garrett.
That's right. Tyler Boyd catches. I set it at 5.5.
I'll go under.
Under? Okay. Even with his pissing and moaning, you're going under?
Yeah. Have you seen Ryan Lindley throw a football?
Ryan Finley, right?
Does it really matter?
It doesn't because he'll be a distant memory next year when they take Burrow one pick ahead of you because they have
Call him QB placeholder throwing the football.
Oh God. Yeah. You're not wrong. You could say the same thing about Mason Rudolph though. The last one probably before the break here, we've got the Giants at the Bears. The Bears are favored by 6. The over under is 40.5 in this one. What the hell is going to happen in this one?
Give me Giants and the under.
Giants and the under in this one. I think I went Giants in the over. Daniel Jones passing yards. I'm going to put it at 270.
I'll go under. Probably about 250, 260, but it's close.
Under 270. What about Saquon Barkley total yards? Now he's banged up a little bit. You know, a couple weeks ago when they were asking him about the injury, he kept saying, next question, next question. They are coming off the bye, aren't they? I'm getting my brain is melting.
I think so, yes. And they got Sterling Shepard coming back too.
Right. So I feel like that could open it up a little bit. I think 100 is easy if you're saying healthy Saquon, but this is, you know, we're not sure Saquon. So I set it at 100. What do you think?
I'm gonna take the over, but I'm not 100% sure he's healthy either. So that's the scary part.
And then I put David Montgomery total touches at 15 because if it's under 15, I feel like I would fire Nagy immediately after the game. And I like Nagy. I want him to succeed, but he's getting too cute with everything.
Way too cute.
And you have to run your best player, and you should be running David Montgomery into the wall right now, right? I mean, it just makes no sense for him not to get 20 carries or whatever. And the last time they did this bit, he got a bunch of carries, they won. So yeah. Stick with it, right? Come on. What are you doing?
Yeah, it needs to be over. If they have any chance in this game, it needs to be over. He needs 20-plus carries easily. So yeah. I'll take the over on this one. Nagy's just a moron.
I didn't take him in my DFS lineups this week, but is he a guy that you talked about? Because I know he was under the poverty line or the average price or whatever on both sides this week.
I don't mind him. He's more of a GPP than a cash game play just because Nagy. But I don't mind him because he should get a ton of touches against a bad Giants defense.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why this game is so intriguing to me, because they're both so horrible. Like, I could easily see the Giants coming out and just pounding the Bears, but then I could also see Danny Dimes fumbling another three times, throwing a couple picks against this tough Bears defense, and us going, well, why didn't we all take the Bears? They're clearly better than the Giants because the roster is way better. But they just haven't put together a full game plan in a while. So it doesn't make much sense to me. It's like ever since they lost to the Raiders, they have been kind of on a downhill tour ever since that. But we got to take a break. And after this break, we're going to come back. We're going to finish out this week of Week 12 games in the NFL. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You know what endless love means? That means this is it. This is the last segment of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. It's me, Scott Bogman, and Casey Bubba. At BDNTrick, at Bogman Sports on the Twitter for us. Do you do any of the other social medias? Do you do the Instagram?
I do the others. They're more just for fun, personal things. I try to keep the fantasy stuff to Twitter.
Oh, really? Fun, personal things. What could you possibly be looking at it on Instagram?
No, I'm not like that. Like, I do that on Twitter also. But I usually post my personal life matters on the other things. I let the trolls have fun with me on Twitter. I try to keep them away from the rest of it.
So on Facebook, when you're, you know, tweeting about whatever that, or you're Facebooking about whatever, that's more of the private stuff. And
yes.
Twitter is the anything goes. Twitter is kind of the Wild West.
Exactly. There's no controlling that one. Don't try to fight that one.
Yeah, I mean, well, there is some kind of controlling of it when, you know, I don't know. You listen to Joe Rogan complain about it. It's pretty funny. But I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on in the social media. Did you see that they're trying to take away the likes so that Instagram influencers can't make money or something? Like,
it's
just
stupid. It's
why?
The dumbest thing I've ever seen because people suck.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can put it. People are just stupid and they're fun haters and they're stupid.
Yeah, I mean... I love your passion in this. I just think it's really stupid. Like, aren't we just trying to find ways for people to make money? So why would we take away a possible revenue stream for these people? You know, I don't care that, you know, people are jealous that a girl that just looks hot is getting money for looking hot. It takes a lot of work to look hot.
Hey, if I could make $1 million a year showing my ass, I would do it too.
100,000 million percent.
I don't even want to look at mine for a dollar, let alone a million. So
we're lockstep, Bubba, you and me in this. So we will not be fighting about this at all.
Let me decide if I want to favorite something or not.
That's
not someone else.
This
is America. But want me to get on my pedestal and start? Yeah, play the. There you go. Put the music on. Yeah, don't get me started on this. This is a land of the home and the free, where we should have the right to like and not like what we want. Women should be able to wear little to as most clothes as they want, and we should be able to love it.
That's right. Tell them.
America
took her jabs. Let's finish out this week 12 slate here. We've got the Raiders on the road against the Jets. Oakland by 3, 46.5 is the over. How do you see this one playing out?
Jets in the over. Jets went outright.
New York Jets in the over. The Jets went outright over the Raiders. Okay. Yep. So I guess I set the total yards for Josh Jacobs at 110. If the Jets are winning outright, I don't know. Does he hit that?
Yeah, he'll hit it just like he has recent weeks because he's getting used a little more in the passing game because their receivers just aren't that good.
Well, this one might not hit then. Jamison Crowder, I put the catches at 7. If they're not playing so much catch up, maybe that doesn't hit. Maybe it does. What say you?
No, I see this more of a shootout. I love Crowder getting his. He's got over 10 targets in 3 straight games. So I'll take over 7 catches.
Love it. And then Ryan Griffin, you mentioned him before. I put his touchdowns at 1.
That's a good number. I'll take the over. I think he gets 1 or 2. So it might be a push, but that's a good number.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to give you the hook because that's easy to take the under. So I just set it at 1. So I know I feel like I've gathered a pretty good knowledge on what to torture you with on some of these. So
you're very good at some of these.
Going to Carolina at the New Orleans Saints. New Orleans, a 9.5-point favorite. The over is 47 in this game. How do you see this one? Or 9.5 and 47. How do you see this one playing out?
New Orleans or the over.
New Orleans and the over for you. DJ Moore receiving yards, maybe garbage time. I got him at 90. He's been really good recently.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes, I'll take the over on that one. I think this continues on, and I like that quite a bit.
Now, CMC, the total yards, I had to, you know, I want to set it just at 150 and leave it, but that's too easy. I think 150 is just too easy to come by. I think you're getting it every week. I think it's kind of obvious. So I set him at 165 for this week. 165 total yards against New Orleans. New Orleans is a tougher defense, but he seems to do it. I mean, he had 180 when they only scored 3 points last week. So what do you think about CMC's total yards?
Yeah, I'll take the over here, too. He gets almost 30 touches a game. It's tough for him not to get to 165.
Yeah, and everyone, oh, they're bringing in Mike Davis. They're going to take his carries away. Oh, really? Like they took his goal line carries away and gave him the Jordan Scarlett or whatever loser they were talking about before the season started? None of that stopped. You know, Reggie Bonifant gets a couple carries or a catch here and there. That's it. Mike Davis ain't going to do anything. Give me a break. Drew Brees pass yards, I set at 300 in this game.
I'm going to go over. Yeah, I think it's the get right. Like they got right last week. I think this is a really get right at home game for the Saints.
Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta, let me just double check. A 4-point favorite, 51.5 is the over in this game. How do you see Tampa Bay at Atlanta playing out?
Atlanta and the over.
Atlanta, the Dirty Birds, and the over in this one. I think I took the Bucs. Jameis Winston turnovers. I'm going to set it at 2.5. 2.5 is over?
Yes, over.
Well, I mean, what's the line we have to set with Jameis?
3.5 makes you think.
3.5. Okay. He's had a couple ones. I mean, not many, but.
He's got more threes than ones.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that. So Calvin Ridley receiving yards, I put at 80. He looked really good last week with no Austin Hooper. And the Bucs are one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. So 80 is what I set it at for him.
Yeah, this is a fun one because usually Ridley has a big week that he kind of disappears for a while. I like him to have another big week this week, so give me Ridley over.
What about Mike Evans' catches in this one? You did take Atlanta, so maybe you're going to go under, but I set Mike Evans' catches at 8.
I'm going to go under, but it's going to be close because he can go big at any time, him and Godwin.
Now, in what is the game of the week, everyone's going to love this game. I know it. It's backup quarterback central. It's Detroit by 3.5 over Washington on the road at Washington. 41.5 is the over in this game. I mean, who cares? But how do you see it playing out?
Give me Detroit and the over.
Detroit and the over for you in this one. Darius Geis touches Peterson a little bit banged up. But Geis looks spry. He had that, you know, 40-plus yard receiving touchdown, which was Dwayne Haskins' first touchdown pass, by the way. Don't know that many people realize that because he's played so much. But that was his first touchdown pass, was that one to Geis, where he threw a screen pass and Geis did all the work. So I put his touches at 12, but he only had 8 last week. I set it at 10 the week before, and it went under. So what do you think about 12 touches in week 12 for Darius Geis?
I'll take the over. I think they really, really want to get him established. That was get right last week, get your feet wet. I think they go a little heavier this week.
So you think, like, would you be surprised if it's 15?
I think it's 15 is kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay. 15. Yeah, anything more than that, I think I'd be surprised. But I do. He's just good. He's a good player. So if he's healthy now and ready to go, I'm excited about watching him in the NFL. And they need him. They need him real bad to give guys something so he doesn't have to go beg his offensive linemen to block. Yep. Did you see that video?
That was ridiculous. That video was so ridiculous. Unbelievable.
What is he thinking? Like, what are you doing?
It's like one of those, like, shoo, get away, kid. Like, we're done with you. Get out of here.
I put Kenny Golladay catches at 4.5 because he has not looked good with Driscoll. But you kind of think, two bad weeks in a row, you have to refocus and start getting him the ball. So 4.5 as the over-under for catches for Kenny Golladay.
I'll take the over. I like Marvin Jones more this week. Driscoll and Jones have quite the little rapport going, but I'll take over.
Terry McLaurin receiving yards, I put at 70.
I'll take the under. I don't trust Dwayne Haskins at all.
Even a little bit at all. Jacksonville at Tennessee. How is this one not on Thursday night? This is just like every time I see this, I assume that it's on Thursday night football. It's Tennessee by 3.5. The over is 41.5 now. So how do you see this game playing out?
Give me Tennessee and the under.
Tennessee and the under. Leonard Fournette touches. Doug Marrone said that we didn't give him the ball enough last week. We need to get it in Leonard's hands a little bit more. And he had 15 touches. So I put his touches at 25. We've seen him go upward of 30 in this season. I think if they're going to beat Tennessee, he's got to be handling the ball a ton. So 25, what do you think?
Yeah, give me over. A Captain Obvious gift for Doug Marrone there. Of course, they need to get the ball more. So, yeah, give me the over.
We need to get the ball to our best player a little bit more. I think that would be a smart idea. Derrick Henry, rush yards, 100.
Over. Derrick Henry's one of my favorite running backs this week at DFS. Love him this week.
Second half, Derrick Henry is always huge. Yep. DJ Chark, receiving yards, 85.
He's going to go over.
Over.
Nick Foles loves him.
I like that. I like that Andrew Siciliano does the song every time he mentions DJ Chark now. It's got, like, I don't get annoyed by it because I don't have any kids. So,
yeah, same with me. It's like, this is funny to me.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me even a little bit. So I actually kind of like it, but it's kind of catchy, but I haven't heard it 13 billion times like most parents have. I do think that it's got well over a billion watches on YouTube. It's something ridiculous like that.
I like to check the Instagram, but I don't know how many likes it has, so I can't tell you
that. The Cowboys are on the road against New England. Dislike this game. New England by 6.5, 45.5 points the over. There is going to be a little bit of weather with some rain in this one. How do you see this one going?
Dallas and the over.
Dallas and the over. Voting on the offense here. Michael Gallup receiving yards, he's been good in recent weeks. I put it at 75.
Yeah, I'll take the over. Gallup's been my guy the last few weeks, and banged up Amari Cooper. Go back to Gallup.
Zeke rushing yards, I put it at 90 against this tough New England defense.
I'm gonna take the under. I think Belichick's gonna try to stop the run and make them pass the ball, and Zeke gets shut down.
Tom Brady passing yards, and you promised me a big Tom Brady week last week, and it didn't
trust
happen.
Trust me, it hurt me as well.
And I'm out of guillotine now.
I'm out of 10 bucks. So
250 yards for Tom Brady passing. Over or under on that?
I'm going to go over. I think this game, unless the weather just gets stupid crazy, I think it's a shootout.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be cold and rainy. So, yeah. 39 degrees and rain. I mean, I would hate it. I'm over here complaining that it's like 60 degrees.
I almost texted you this morning. I saw it was going to be 66 in Phoenix. I was like, oh, you must be hating life right now.
Yeah, it's cold, man. I'm going to have to put a hoodie when I go out tonight. So it's
your shorts and sandals. It's going to be crazy.
That's right. Yeah, shorts and a hoodie. That is a popular look in the Phoenix area. Shorts and a hoodie. Seattle at Philly. Philly by 1 point. The over is 48 in this game. How do you see this one going?
Give me Seattle and the under.
Seattle and the under. Yeah, I picked Seattle too. I think it's silly that Philly's favoring this one. Seattle and the under. I put Tyler Lockett's receiving yards at 90 in this one. He is banged up, but Philly's secondary is awful. So how do you see it going?
Under is the Josh Gordon week, folks.
Josh Gordon week. Boo. Crying Zach Ertz. I put him at 6 catches for this week. Over under that.
Over, because they have no other options that can actually hold on to the football.
And Carson Wentz pass yards, 280, like you mentioned. All those banged up receiving options just don't look good. 280 for Carson Wentz. Over under on that.
Under, please.
Under on Carson Wentz passing. The Sunday night game should be a fun one. The Welsh is super nervous about it, as I think he probably should be.
Yes, he should be.
But it is the San Francisco 49ers hosting the Green Bay Packers. This one got flexed to a good game. We love that. The Niners are favored by 3 at home. 47.5 is the over. How do you see that one going?
Go, Pack, go. And the over.
That's exactly what we both took, too. The Welsh and I both took Green Bay in the over. Aaron Rodgers pass yards, 280 coming off a bye. What do you think?
Over.
Over. Now, is this going to be the week where Devontae Adams finally gets a touchdown?
Yes.
This is it? Because he doesn't have one this week.
Coming off a bye week, they worked on a few things, I'm assuming. I don't think that sits well with those two boys.
Aaron Jones, total yards, I put it 90.
I'm going to take the over. He's going to be involved in the passing game quite a bit.
Debo Samuel catch. I put catches, then I put 90 as in yards. Debo Samuel catches. Let's go with 7.
Ooh, that's a good number. I'll take over.
Over on Debo Samuel catches? Yeah, I mean, got the over in the game. So
yeah, he's a stud, so I'll take the over.
What about the Monday Night Football game here? Baltimore at the Rams. Baltimore by 3. 46.5 is the over on this game.
Give me Baltimore and the under.
Baltimore and the under. I took Baltimore and the over again. Lamar Jackson touchdowns. I put him at 3.5.
Actually, give me Baltimore and the over, because I'm going to take over 3.5 touchdowns.
Okay, so over 3.5 touchdowns, which would probably mean over in the game. Todd Gurley total yards. I put him at 80, a little bit less. I know they want to establish the run, but if they get behind, they're going to have to pass a little bit more. But I could see him being involved on both fronts. So Todd Gurley total yards at 80. What do you say?
I'm going to take the under. I think Baltimore's defense shuts him down.
Under on the 80 yards for Gurley, and Cooper Kupp catches 5.5. Been 0-3 in the last 2 weeks.
I'll take the over just because Woods is still MIA, so I think they got to get Kupp involved here sooner or later.
Now, we have a couple minutes at the end of the show here. Normally, I want to ask you for DFS plays, but if you want DFS plays, go listen to his Fan Track show. DFS. I want to ask you about this stupid, weird, I'm going to tell my kids this is blah, blah, blah meme. Oh, the Welsh God. And I talked about it earlier. Where did it come from?
That's the million-dollar question. I literally came out of nowhere. I've had multiple, like Nate Hamilton and stuff, asking, where did this even come from? Because I never saw it coming, and now everybody and their mom is doing it, and I'm holding back to not do it. Even though it's like the perfect troll thing. Like, I've seen some really good ones with Darren Ravel involved and stuff, like really good stuff, but it makes no sense to me at all. Like, really makes no sense at all. And I have no kids and I won't have kids, so it makes it a lot easier.
I just don't understand, like, what is the, like, where did it come from? What's the point? You know, I get some of them are funny. The Welsh didn't think. I thought the one where, you know, it was a picture of Bartolo Colon, and it said, I'm going to tell my kid this is Babe Ruth. That was pretty funny. I don't know I've seen any other funny ones.
The Angels did one with a picture of a goat in an Angels jersey. Said, I'm going to tell my kids this is Mike Trout.
That's pretty creative. I like that one.
Some of them are good. Some of them are like, you guys really need to think a little more or not fall when you're a kid. One of the two.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, you get the trolley ones, of course, too. So, there's all kinds of weirdness with this meme, but I just, like, some of this stuff, I just don't know where it comes from. And that's one of those things where it's just like, you know, I never have heard of this ever. And then all of a sudden, every single person on Twitter is doing it. Every single person. So yeah, it's just crazy.
It got out of hand. I have no idea where it came from, and it'll go away when the next thing comes out. But for now, I'm trying to debate if I want to jump in on the fun or not. That's the problem.
I tell you what, I'm going to tweet out a picture of a goat and tell everybody, I'm going to tell my kids this is Casey Bubba right here. So, thank you for joining me once again on In This League on Sports Grid. But that is going to wrap it up for us today. Remember, you can follow us on the Twitter at Bogman Sports, at Is It The Welsh, at Mediantric for everyone involved here. Good luck in all your matchups this weekend, and we will see you guys next week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, everybody. See ya.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.